What this is this is a psalm that was sung. There was 15 of them. As Russ pointed out to us in Sunday school this morning, there was three particular festivals that the Jews had to go to Jerusalem to every year. And as they would go, they would sing these psalms. Now, we don't have the music to these particular psalms. I'm just going to focus in on one. But that's just to give you a little bit of a background as with regards to the Psalms of Ascent. And so as they would go, they would sing, all right? And they would be popular tunes to them, so they would know them. And hopefully some of these hymns. So what I've done is I've got to our hymnals. And so you might want to avail yourself of both the celebration hymnal, because we'll sing a couple out of there, and your hymns of grace. So we're going to walk along together. And look at these tremendous truths that the Lord has promised to us. James Montgomery Boyce gives the summation of this particular psalm. He says, "This psalm breathes from beginning to end the marvelous spirit of tranquil trust in God." Tranquil trust in God. Now, you've got to think now of the peoples of that particular day as they head towards Jerusalem. All the men, all right? So you're leaving your homes, right? And all the loved ones, et cetera, all your things, and you're headed to Jerusalem. Now, the enemies are around you, everything. Oh, there goes the Jews. There they go. Now it's a prime time to strike, and either with their tongues as they talk about their going and mock them, or to take their things while they're gone. But the Lord is with them. The Lord is with them. And so Psalm 120 was the first psalm of ascent, and it talks about the deceitful tongue and the peoples that are out there and what's going on against them. And so as they proceed, they would sing this particular psalm. So let's begin with verse 1 of Psalm 121. "I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So I will lift up my eyes to the hills," and some of our New American Standard says to the mountains. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. In chapter 3 of Psalm, verse 4, it says this: "I was crying to the Lord with my voice, and he answered me from his holy mountain." More specifically, I think with regards to what we're reading now as we proceed on, and with the Psalms of Ascent in Psalm 125, verses 1 and 2, we read this: "Those who trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people." And there's the awesomeness about looking unto these particular things with what God has provided. He is the security. He's the mountain upon which we should focus. So my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Now there's a statement that if you've got time, you can do a Bible study by way of he who made heaven and earth. And Psalm 124, if you'll turn a page or two, in let's read with verse 1, Psalm 124. "Had it not been the Lord who was on our side," let Israel now say, "had it not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then we would have swallowed, they would have swallowed us alive. When their anger was kindled against us, then the waters would have engulfed us. The stream would have swept over our soul, then raging waters would have swept over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us to be torn by their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare. The snare is broken and we have escaped." Here it is. "Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and he made earth." And the Jews would be familiar with the scriptures themselves, and they would perhaps remember all the way back when Joshua was leading the people into the promised land. Remember, the Lord said, "Be strong and be courageous." And he was with him, as he was with Moses. And as the spies were sent into Jericho, and they met one, Rahab the harlot. Do you remember her? You remember her? And then It's really interesting what Rahab has to say. She says, with regards to what was going on in the city of Jericho, she says, "When we heard it, our hearts melted, and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. For the Lord your God," listen, "he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath." So as we know, Rahab of Harlot is in the chapter of faith. So she indeed was a believer in Jehovah God. So this one who made heaven and earth is the one that we look to, all right? My help comes from him. He has made heaven and earth. And so let us begin with our first song to sing, the song in your hymns of grace, number 64, "Like a River Glorious," number 64. Stanza a cappella. So as we travel along, we're headed to Jerusalem. We're headed to worship the Lord. And as we go along, maybe thoughts of troubles come into your mind and to our hearts as we're traveling. So in the next verse we read, "He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber." We're back in Psalm 121. "Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." I can remember some troubled times in my life I was having, and my older brother sent me some scripture to read in Psalm 94. It's a real comfort to me. And again, not to be troubled with what's going on around me at that particular time, because I was deeply troubled with the issue as it was. Verse 17, 94. "If the Lord had not been my help, my soul would soon have been dwelt in the abode of silence. If I should say, my foot has slipped, your loving kindness, your steadfast love, O Lord, will hold me up. When my anxious thoughts multiply within me, your consolations, your comforts delight my soul." Boy, did I need that at that particular time. It was very appropriate with regards to what my brother brought my attention to. I thought, oh man, my foot has slipped. I'm a goner, you know, with what was going on around me. Some of my own doing. But the Lord was with me. Never leaves you nor forsakes you. "When my anxious thoughts multiplied within me, your comforts delight my soul." Not my strength, not my wisdom. I can think this out. I'll get through it. But he has me. He's with me every step of the way. Back to our scripture. "He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will never slumber nor sleep." I remembered our study. We studied a little bit about Hezekiah. I think it was Sunday school when he failed. Remember, he had the Babylonians. Look at all his wealth. Apparently, maybe a bit on the braggadocious side. And there it was foretold of the Babylonian captivity. But there would be a restoration. And it talks about that in Isaiah 40. It says this, "Do you not know?" Take heart now. "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord." Here's that statement again. "The creator of the ends of the earth does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary. And to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous men, young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles, will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary, because the Lord is with them." He doesn't slumber nor sleep. He's right there with them each and every step of the way. So as they're proceeding to Jerusalem, to where they're going to worship, the Lord is with them. He's aware of everything that's going on around them. He knows what is in the minds of each and every man and woman wherever they might be. He's not like the gods of the peoples that mocked them as they walked. You know, they had their statues, they had their people, their gods that they bowed down to. We read in the book of Isaiah, they had eyes, they don't see. They have ears, but they don't hear. They have mouths, but they don't speak. They have feet, but they don't walk. But we obey and we trust and we know the true and the living God. So I was reminded of the verses I memorized quite some time ago in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So he's their keeper, and he's our guard, and he keeps us. And then I remember one of my favorite verses, 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no temptation taken you, but such is God as common to man, but God has provided a way of escape. He's the way of escape, right? He's the way of escape. So he is faithful, and he has done just that. So let's sing another hymn along those lines, number 388 in your hymns of grace, 388, He Will Hold Me Fast, 388. Next few verses is, the Lord is our keeper, the Lord is your shade on your right hand. The right hand is a place of privilege and blessing. David, indeed, the psalmist, he was privileged and blessed to be the king of Israel. So are we. We've been blessed immensely, haven't we? We've been chosen, as we read in Ephesians 1, if you're a believer, before the foundations of the world. And he has a hold of you. It's not so much you holding on to him. That'll be the desire of your heart. But he holds you fast. He holds me. That's what keeps us. That keeps us, what keeps us in right paths. That's what keeps us turned back towards him, is him having hold of us with his right hand. The psalm that I came across in my reading, in Psalm 37, talks about his hand. Psalm 37, 23 and 24. The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. When he falls, he will not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. Wow, how precious that is. There are times I know when I wonder who I am with regards to things, the thoughts, and sometimes even the deeds that I do. But I'm reminded of what he has done and what we've just sung about. He has made me his, and I've not been hurled headlong because he holds my hand. What a tremendous promises that are ours in with regards to him. Now our next few verses says, the sun shall not smite thee, you by day, nor the moon by night. We know a little about the sunshine smiting us here in Florida, don't we? My, that is quite a quenching thing by way of it. And the moon, does it have the same capability? Some people say it does, but I think what we're dealing with here is that the Lord protects us night and day. He's the true 24/7 keeper of your soul and mine. The only night scene I could think of with regards to the psalmist, well, I thought of David, was Saul's pursuit. You remember Saul was after him, and with his 3,000 plus soldiers, David with maybe 200, and it was at night. David knew where Saul was. It's recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 26. And David says to two of his men, one being Abishai, who's going to go down with me to where Saul and his men are camped? Abishai says, I'll go. And so they went down, as you know. There was Saul in the midst, Abner's general, all his people around him. And of course, Abishai says, now's the time, you know, now he's delivered. No, I'm not going to raise my hand against the Lord's anointed. He'll go some way this way, so the Lord will take him at that particular time. take his spear, take his water jug, and let's depart. And so you know that they did just that. But it's interesting what's noted there to me. It says, the reason why they didn't rise up, 2 men, 3,000, is this. It's recorded in Scripture, because a sound sleep from the Lord had fallen on them. How about that? So there's nothing that comes down the pathway towards you and I that the Lord isn't perfectly over and in control. All right. If he wants a sound sleep to come upon them, then that's exactly what will take place. Because we're his and he's ours, and he's our shade on our right hand. The sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. So let's sing another song. You'll find this in your celebration hymnal. A Shelter in the Time of Storm. This is an old one, so I think you know it. 693. A Shelter in the Time of Storm. As verse 2 stated, a shade by day and defense by night. There he is. 24/7, the Lord is with us as he was with David on that particular evening and throughout the course of his life. What a great God. Shade on our right hand. Verse 7, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your soul. What a precious promise to you and I. Was David surrounded by evil? It sure was, wasn't he? Saul was after him, as I stated, you know, for no reason whatsoever, just jealousy because of what had been promised to David. And then Absalom, once he brought Absalom back home, as you know, Absalom conniving to take over the kingdom as well with regards to that. And then one of his closest counselors, Ahithophel. And if you study and read the scriptures, you'll find that it is said that even Absalom himself looked as if when Ahithophel spoke as if God was speaking. If I understand correctly, Ahithophel was in a relationship with Bathsheba. So maybe there was an issue here within the family, etc. And this was just the opportune time for Ahithophel to do his deeds with regards to it. But as you know, the Lord thwarted that by way of another friend of Abishai, a good close friend and warrior of David's, and he sent him back, and he was able to thwart Ahithophel's plan, which if you read it, was absolutely right on. He said, David is tired, his men are tired. If I go out now, we send the troops out, we'll take care of it. It'll be over. But the Lord intervened. Kept him from all evil. He will keep your soul. He will keep your life. That's trouble from the outside. But with regards to our flesh, we have trouble on the inside as well. And we could study David's life. We'll find that indeed, but that him being the psalmist is the reason why I chose him, is that he had troubles on the inside. And that Yet the Lord was with him in it. One particular time that I remember was with regards to one named Nabal and his men. Remember, David's on the run with his men, and he had light into this particular area where he was hiding out with his men, and Nabal had was quite a wealthy man. And David and his men were like a protective barrier through all of the season and et cetera. And when it came, I think it was the time of shearing, time of reaping the harvest, David sends his men to get a little bit of feedback from Nabal. And of course, you know, Nabal refused and had very unsightly, unchoice words for David and his men. What did David do? He says, okay, guys, put on your swords. We're going to go. We're going to take care of this Nabal. And there's not going to be one male left of his family when I'm through. And so he takes off with his men. But the Lord had given Nabal a godly woman, I would say, and who would later become David's wife, Abigail. And she meets him on the way. He's coming down through a valley. Looks, I think, probably could see the residence where he's headed. Boy, he was just ready to strike. And the Lord brings Abigail to intervene. Here's some words. It's 1 Samuel 25:26. She addresses him appropriately, et cetera, as to who he is. She acknowledges who he is. Now, therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, since the Lord has restrained you from shedding blood and from avenging yourself by your own hand. Then when this comes about, you're restored. Remember that. So she's a positive event on that particular. But David's response is interesting in how he looks upon her. But it's not her that he looks. It's upon the Lord. This is verse 32 of 1 Samuel 26. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel who sent you this day to meet me. He sent her. He acknowledged that. He could see that the Lord had intervened. So the evil that he thought, vengeance, that and he was confronted, and God stopped him. Have you ever had a time in your life where you were about ready to do something and the Lord intervened? I can remember a time when I thought, my thoughts went towards my besetting sin, and all of a sudden the phone rang, and it was my brother. And it was just those timely things, you know, that the Lord sends. He knows what you need, when you need it, and just when you're ready to go over the edge, he sends the Abigails to prevent you. Our God is indeed gracious, as he was to David to that day, so for you and I as well. We remember those promises in Hebrews 13:5. He will never leave us nor forsake us. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? You know, what can Satan himself do? But that the Lord allows, right? Remember Romans 8:38-39, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created being will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Keeps our soul. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your soul. Been bought with a price. We're under a safety net, if you will, of his wings. There's our next hymn. And again, that we'll have to sing this one. It's 620. No music. 620 in your celebration hymnal. Under his wings. Says, show of hands, how many of you know this one? Oh, okay, good. All right. We need to practice, but there's some great words. All right, under his wings, sheltered, protected, no evil can harm me. Resting in Jesus, I'm safe, safe evermore. Verse 8. The Lord will guard you. The Lord will guard, he will keep your going out and your coming in. He's a great protector. When I saw that, read that particular verse, I thought of Job. What a wonderful story. I've used and it's helped me and it's helped quite a few people that are regularly struggling in the trials and testings of life. Is the book of Job. But I love what is written in the book of Job by way of revealing things to you and I. And Job 1:10, you know, that's where Satan himself comes and allowed to come in the presence of the Lord. And the Lord points out Job. Have you seen my man Job? For there is no one like him in all the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. Then Satan answered the Lord, does Job fear God for nothing? Now listen to this. This is coming from Satan. Have you not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has? on every side. You've blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. And then he challenges the Lord, but put forth your hand and he'll curse you to your face. Do you see what the Lord even allowed Satan to reveal? Tremendous truth that perhaps would have been hidden for some time. And that there's a hedge around you. The Lord has all that are his. There's a hedge around you and nothing can get through it but that he lowers it. Do you think the Lord has a sense of humor? That he allows that to take place. To tell you. So he uses our arch enemy to give you tremendous truth and help in the time of trials and testings. For the Lord has got this hedge around us. All right? And he will lower it for his glory and our good. And Job will tell you, at that time, it didn't feel good what he went through. All right? But on the other side, at the other end of it all, what a blessing. Not only to Job, but to us, even this very day. What a blessing. So the Lord will guard, keep you from your and your going out and your coming in. What that's a picture of when you open the tent door and leave. And when you come back in the evening, 24/7, all right? He guards your going out and you're coming in. And I've wrote down one of my favorite verses. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. This is Isaiah 26:3-4. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is fixed on him. For in the Lord Jehovah is eternal strength, is strength, the strength and power that we need. Isaiah 26:3. And then we finish off our ascent psalm. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. All right. We are eternally his. We've been bought with a price, as we've sung, and a precious price, very blood of Christ. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit, and that nothing can separate us from him, nothing whatsoever. So let's close by singing another. I know I've got plenty more time, but I didn't know how long it would take us to get through these particular songs. But I'm going to sing, or have you sing, and hopefully you know this one. This is in the Hymns of Grace, Day by Day. Day by Day, number 69. And you've been sitting, so let's stand. Number 69. Hymns of Grace, Day by Day. Now I'll close with these two verses, so appropriate in the book of Jude. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.